And hello and welcome to a Thursday afternoon. It's 3 o'clock. This program is intended for a print impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to community news covering the towns of Marlboro, Hudson, Harvard, Stowe, and Bolton. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Ashland, Bolton, and Harvard. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we'll be bringing you news from the Community Advocate, Harvard Press, Stowe Independent, and Bolton Independent, the June 12th editions of the Harvard Press and the June 12th editions of Marlboro Hudson Community Advocate. This is Tim Elms, along with Bob Brady, reading to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I'm going to start right here. Tentative teacher's contract offers 9% COLA over 3 years by Marty Green. As this school year draws to a close, the school committee is taking steps to prepare for the new school year that will start next fall. At its June 8th meeting, committee members dealt with matters ranging from a new teacher contract to issues such as vaping and cell phone use in school. Monday marked the last school committee meeting for Superintendent Linda Dwight, who is retiring at the end of June, when she will be succeeded by current Assistant Superintendent Dana Lab. It was also the final meeting for school committee member Amy Morton. The committee members began by spending more than an hour in executive session to discuss the contract with the Harvard Educators Association and other personnel matters before moving into public session. Then, as its first public item of business, the committee took up a memorandum of agreement on the 3-year contract with the HEA. The contract has been under negotiation since last October. School Committee Chair Abigail Bessie said the memorandum represented a tentative agreement with the HEA. The terms include a 9% cost of living raise spread over the 3 years of the contract. However, the proposed agreement also sharply reduces the district's matching contribution to employee retirement accounts. That change, Bessie wrote in an email, will allow for much greater flexibility in our budget among other items of the contract. Among the other terms of the contract that Bessie mentioned were a schedule giving teachers more choice about when they arrive or leave the building before and after school hours. They will also have 10 days of paid parental leave separate from their sick time. And teachers can choose to have their own children attend Harvard schools. The children would no longer have to apply as choice students. The school committee unanimously approved the memorandum of agreement. The committee also approved new 3-year contracts for Director of School Finance and Operations Mandy Ostaszewski. Mandy Ostaszewski and Director of Pupil Services Michelle Della Valle. These contracts were approved by a vote of 4-1. With Liz Joyce abstaining. Later in the meeting, the committee voted unanimously to approve a request for $21,540 from the Shaw Trust to purchase 16 Triton Ultra Vape detectors, one for each bathroom in the Bromfield School. The request memo from Assistant Superintendent Lab and Bromfield Middle School Superintendent, Middle School Principal Dan Hutter said the detectors would serve as deterrents with the goal of discouraging substance abuse, substance behaviors before they become more serious concerns. Lab told the committee the detectors would alert staff members to the presence of nicotine, or THC, the active compound in marijuana. He noted that all other surveillance options on the detectors, such as alerts triggered by shouting, breaking glass, or loitering, would be turned off. With regard to cell phones, Lab told the committee the state legislature is currently considering a law to restrict students' use of cell phones at school. The Harvard School District has applied for a $20,000 state grant to help cover the costs of secure cell phone storage during the school day. Bell to bell. By acting now, Lab said Harvard will be well-positioned to meet state expectations. He asked for and received school committee support for sharing a draft policy on cell phones with the faculty, students, and families. After receiving their input, he said he will bring the policy proposal back to the school committee for consideration. Pump track at Harvard Park enters fundraising and construction phases. And this one is by Julie Gowell. Things are about to get dirty for the volunteer-led organization installing a pump track in the woods behind McCurdy Track on Lancaster County Road. After 4 years of planning, efforts to clear the area to construct the pump track are underway, with the next phase requiring tons of clean fill to begin turning the idea into reality. Hikers enjoying the trails in Harvard Park may have noticed the red, white, blue, and orange flags marking an area roughly the size of an athletic field in the woods. Their curiosity can be sated with the informational sign explaining the new feature coming to the park, the Harvard Pump Track. The project is being built entirely by volunteers and will provide a dedicated space for mountain bicyclists to develop skills and ride recreationally. The track is a dirt trail system featuring rollers or small hills and banked turns, known as berms, that riders navigate by using body movements to generate momentum. Acton and Chelmsford are the two closest towns with pump tracks. But there are also tracks in Arlington, Topsfield, and Alston. According to one of the project organizers, Todd Curie, the delineation of the trails with the flags marks the completion of the project's first major phase, which included a site plan of the land required by the town. Bruce Ringwall, a Harvard resident and partner at GPR Engineering Solutions and AIR, provided the site plan pro bono for the project. Now fundraising efforts are required to bring the track to life. Curry said Harvard's version will differ from a traditional circular pump track because the designers wanted to take advantage of the site's natural elevations. Curry, along with Roger Cameron and Chris Fitzgerald, all Harvard residents and either current or former downhill mountain bike racers, came up with three downhill flow trails differentiated by ability. Beginner, immediate, intermediate, and expert. They also planned a separate climbing trail that riders will use to return uphill. A small push bike area is also in the works for very young children. "We started off by removing as much as possible," said Curry in an interview with the press at the track site. "Down trees, debris, just to get an open canvas. Once it was all cleared, we were able to envision the different lines that we were hoping for. The project has substantial volunteer support. 3 work days have been held so far, including one that drew approximately 30 volunteers to help clear brush, remove fallen trees, and prepare the site for trail construction. When I go pick my kids up at school every day, the amount of kids on mountain bikes leaving school is awesome," Curry said. "I think it's a really good time for this." Garden Club donates planter to town. On a perfect summer morning, June 8th, several members of the Garden Club of Harvard gathered in front of Town Hall to donate a granite planter filled with red, white, and blue flowers to the town, represented by Don Dunbar, interim town administrator, and Julie Doucette, executive assistant. The donation is in honor of the club's 100th anniversary in 2027 and also celebrates the nation's 250th. Bill LaFelme, president, spoke about the founding of the club by Mary Abbott and how it carries on her goals of education, conservation, and joy in gardening. The planter was the idea of member Mary Ann Pasecki, who, along with Kathy Jackson, has chaired the club's Civic Beautification Committee for many years. The large planter, with a club name and established 1927 engraved in black letters, was made and installed by Demecos of Lancaster to complement the building. Select Board elects Redinger Chair, narrows dates for town meetings, by John Osborne. At its annual goal-setting retreat, held June 9th on the porch of Hildreth House, the Harvard Select Board elected Susan Mary Redinger to chair the town's executive committee for the coming year. The vote was unanimous. Ahmet Korapatsoglu was elected vice chair, and Eve Wittenberg, the clerk. Redinger replaces outgoing chair Kara Minar, who was reelected to another three-year term in May. The newest member of the board, Eric Ward, was also elected to a full three-year term in May after filling out the remaining term of Rich Maori, who resigned in 2025. The traditional three-hour meeting is an opportunity for the board to review progress on goals set for the current fiscal year and to set new ones for the year to come. Member Eve Wittenberg declared the board deserved a B-plus or A-minus, despite the rejection at town meeting of its proposal to enhance town revenues by constructing a solar garden on a town parcel off of Stowe Road. The board's review of last year's goals and the goals it set for itself for this year will be the subject of a future press article. The board also narrowed the dates for a special town meeting this fall and for 2027 annual town meeting next spring. Based on the results of a resident survey, members were inclined to hold both meetings on Tuesday, October 6th or October 20th for a special town meeting, and April 27th for annual town meeting. If annual town meeting is held on a Saturday, as is traditional, the date would be May 1st. Town election is scheduled for May 4th. Bromfield's Class of 2026 takes the leap. Sure, why not? By John Osborne. 82 members of the Bromfield School Class of 2026 received their diplomas Friday afternoon, June 5th, in an annual ritual held rain-free at the school's athletic field. The evening was near perfect for the school's 146th commencement, with temperatures hovering in the upper 80s and a lazy, hazy, but cloudless sky overhead. 2 days earlier, at senior annual awards night, nearly 100 academic and extracurricular awards and scholarships were presented to deserving seniors for excellence in math, writing, world languages, science, engineering, visual arts, performing arts, technical theater, music, counseling, athletics, and citizenship. The Bromfield Guidance Office had announced that college-bound seniors had been accepted at 178 colleges and universities across the United States and in Canada, England, Scotland, and Australia. During Friday's commencement, speakers celebrated the class' 13-year journey in Harvard schools, sending them off with warmth and practical wisdom. Led by junior class marshals Bowen Clark and Gisela Benway, the graduates-to-be marched onto the field to a record performance of the 1985 synth-pop hit Everybody Wants to Rule the World by the English pop-rock band Tears for Fears, an ironic counterpoint perhaps to the messages of caring and collaboration that followed. The rows of white folding chairs facing the rostrum were three-quarters full as the 2026 seniors filed down the aisle at 5:30 p.m. and made their way onto bleachers, a river goal to say things out loud. It worked. She closed with a question and a challenge. Why do you want to see what you're looking at in the mirror? Okay, that sounds confusing, but let's jump ahead here. Now Horton called the class to order for the moment they've been waiting for. She invited school committee chairperson Abigail Bessie and superintendent Dwight to the stage and welcomed the handful of Harvard Public Schools staff members who were parents of graduates to the stage wings, where they would have the honor of handing a diploma to their own child. Announcer Drew Skrocki took the podium to properly pronounce each of the 82 names. Each student crossed the stage, accepted an empty diploma cover from Dwight, Horton, and Bessie, and paused after exiting for a photograph by press photographer Lisa Akukowitz before returning to the bleachers. After the ceremony, Horton would be waiting at the class rock with the actual diplomas. Let's take a break. Short break. We'll pass it over to Bob with more news.
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And at the Mass Commission for the Blind, we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.
This is Bob Brady with Audio Journal. The time is 3:16. I'm going to read articles from the Marlboro Hudson Community Advocate. Hudson's Horseshoe Pub sold after 46 years. After 46 years, as one of Hudson's most recognizable dining destinations, the Horseshoe Pub and Restaurant is preparing for a new chapter. The beloved local institution has been sold, and on June 10th, the community was invited to gather for a special Changing of the Guard celebration, honoring the pub's longtime ownership and its lasting impact on Hudson's dining scene. The purchase is being made by Horseshoe Pub, Inc., an entity operating under the umbrella of MB Corporation, a locally owned holding company with operations spanning the real estate, service, and hospitality sectors. MB Corporation is committed to the long-term growth and preservation of community-focused businesses and dining establishments. For nearly five decades, the Horseshoe, known by its regulars as The Shoe, served as far more than a neighborhood pub. Owned by the Hudson-based Pizzamento family, the pub distinguished itself with a commitment to great food and an impressive selection of beers. Looking back, it's remarkable to see how much Hudson's dining scene has grown, said co-owner Nick Pizzamento. When we opened our doors, there were far fewer options available. We always believed people wanted a great local place where they could enjoy good food, great beer, and good company. It's gratifying to know the Horseshoe played a role in helping shape what Hudson has become. The Horseshoe Pub building was originally constructed by F.D. Brigham in 1832 on Main Street, adjacent to Town Hall, before being relocated to its current South Street location prior to 1880. The property later became part of H.H. Mahwinney and Company, and subsequently the Logan Shoe Company. The building was purchased by Al Pizzamento and a partner when it operated as the South Street Tavern. They renamed it the Horseshoe Pub, a nod to the partner's involvement in harness horse racing. The Pizzamentos became sole owner in 1984. I couldn't be more excited and honored to officially take ownership of the Horseshoe Pub, said Michael Burns, CEO of MB Corporation. I want to sincerely congratulate the Pizzamento family on 46 incredible years of success and thank them for entrusting my team and me with the opportunity to carry on this restaurant's remarkable legacy. We have tremendous respect for everything that has made it such a beloved destination, and we look forward to building on that foundation while bringing our own touch to the experience. Hudson Fire Department welcomes new $2 million truck by Paul Hopkins. The Hudson firefighters have been training on a new 100-foot aerial tower truck that will improve rescue abilities. Hudson Fire Chief Jamie Dosotels said crews are doing some really intense training. We're putting a lot of investment into it so we can use the truck to its full potential, he told the community advocate. The truck can get into tighter spaces, of which there are plenty in downtown Hudson. Later, we will train downtown, which is one of our most vulnerable areas, where we have lots of apartments over commercial areas, really old buildings, and really tough access, Desotel said. The new truck, which comes at a cost of a little over $2 million, has an aerial platform that can fit 3 to 4 people. For the older population in town, that's really important, said Desotel. You can basically walk right into the bucket and be lowered to the ground. Newer technology allows the operator to level the truck in as little as 25 seconds, and the pumps can reach 1,000 gallons of water per minute. Desotel credits the apparatus committee that he formed to find a new truck. Lieutenant Matt Labossiere and firefighters George Eliopoulos, Kevin Prest, and David Prockett, joined by the department's mechanic, researched options and traveled to see other trucks. I told them, here's what we have for funds to buy this truck. I want you to find the best truck for this town. They did an amazing job, said Desotel. My hat is off to them. The new truck is a Pierce Ascendant model. It weighs in at 78,000 pounds and is more than 43 feet long. It pays to advertise. Couple found love through Community Advocate Classifieds by Evan Walsh. In 1984, Greg Wells had just separated from his wife of 13 years. His confidence was low, and he wasn't comfortable cruising the bars. But the allure of female companionship was not easily dismissed. So he picked up the pages of the Community Advocate. At the time, the Advocate offered a singles almanac, a half page filled with brief descriptions people had written about themselves in an effort to attract others. Posting the ad was free, but anyone interested in meeting a single could send in a dollar and their contact information. Greg saw plenty of ads, a lot describing athletic men who liked long walks on the beach filled the almanac. So he decided to do something different. His ad said absolutely nothing about himself, but specified qualities he was looking for in a woman. Looking for a free-spirited, independent woman, he said. Age and religion, not important. Mary Rose saw the ad and said, "This man is looking for me." They've now been married 31 years. Mary Rose wasn't looking in the newspaper for love. She was at a hair salon one day when she picked up the paper and stumbled upon the ad. Something about it piqued her interest, despite having zero information about who placed it, not even a photo. His ad said nothing about him, but that ad was looking for me, she later said. This was low quality, joked Greg. I don't think we could have got it any cheaper. Greg got plenty of letters back, but Mary Rose's stood out. While many of the letters were on yellow-lined paper, Mary Rose used nice stationery. Greg doesn't recall what Mary Rose's letter said, but he remembers the paper and the envelope she used. I'm one of 10 children, so my parents always taught us to make the stationery and envelope represent you, Mary Rose told the Community Advocate. Even when I had no money, I always bought really expensive stationery. The first few months were tricky for Mary Rose. After first meeting Greg, she forgot his name. Instead of asking, it was too late to broach that topic without being embarrassing, she called every person with the last name Wells in the phone book until Greg answered with his trademark, "Howdy." They've been married since 1995, and everything is going great. This was all a half-lifetime ago, said Greg. When I recall significant events in my life, Mary Rose replying to my ad is at the top of the list. BP to appeal Hudson Transfer Station expansion ruling by Paul Hopkins. The Hudson Select Board unanimously voted to fight an appeal from BP Trucking, which wants to double the amount of trash brought to the Cox Street Transfer Station. BP notified the town late last week that it will appeal the Board of Health's original denial of a minor modification of site assignment. BP proposed building a new transfer station and increasing the volume of trash associated with the site from 350 tons per day to 850 tons per day. The Board of Health found in April that the expansion would constitute a danger to public health, safety, and the environment. The decision came after dozens of hours of public testimony from community intervener groups, as well as lengthy presentations from BP-affiliated experts. The people will never stop fighting to protect the health, public safety, and environment in the face of private profits over people. This is our town, and it is worth fighting for, said Alicia Smith, representing Keep Hudson Clean. She said the select board decision sends the message that health and safety are not for sale. The legal fight will take time. The town has yet to be served the formal appeal documents. Attorney Matt Connolly, who has represented the Board of Health against BP, said they have downloaded the appeal from the online docket, but the formal service process has not happened. The select board members also voted unanimously to endorse the Board of Health's decision to reject the transfer station expansion. The select board's motion stipulated that the town should not spend money to support the BP appeal. BP leases the transfer station land from the town, and the town has been listed as a co-applicant for the expansion. Select board members were not shy about backing the Board of Health. We support the Board of Health and their decisions, said Select Board member Diane Bemis. We do not support an appeal by BP. The town is not listed on the appeal from BP, according to Connolly. Thank you for your energy. Advanced Math and Science Academy celebrates class of 2026 at graduation ceremony, by Evan Walsh. During his time in high school, Raghav Subhash Chander said he'd spend his nights awake for no reason, embarking on late-night Taco Bell runs or playing video games in his room. Oftentimes, his well-meaning mother would pose one simple question, "Why have you not gone to bed?" It was a question he never had a real answer to, until recently. Chander, the valedictorian of his class, spoke of the importance of living intentionally, taking in each moment and pursuing new adventures. He could only sleep knowing he spent his time deliberately. "I noticed most of my day felt unaccounted for. I think the majority of the things we do on a day-to-day basis aren't done with intent. We go through the motions and do things for the sake of getting them done, and sometimes that becomes our entire reality," Chander said. He added, "What really makes you feel alive? Right now, you have time. You have freedom." In addition to that time and freedom, Chander and his classmates had plenty to celebrate. On May 29th, 124 students wearing mortarboard caps walked across the stage at Four Kicks, accepting their diplomas and turned the tassel to officially graduate from the Advanced Math and Science Academy, AMSA. The class of 2026 participated in the school's 16th annual commencement. It was a ceremony filled with pomp and circumstance. Principal Mike Nauraki, Vice Principal Amanda Sensi, and Executive Director Lisa Mobley delivered remarks, and the AMSA senior chorus opened the ceremony with a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Math teacher Anna Makazvoz also spoke to wish the class of 2026 farewell. "Goodbye, class of 2026. Thank you for your energy, your questions, for your humor, for your hard work. It has been a joy to teach many of you, and truly special to celebrate all of you as you reach this important moment. I'm very proud of you. I believe in you, she said. And now, let's take a listen to a public service announcement, and then Tim will bring us more news.
Do you need to contact the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office? The Attorney General's Office deals with a wide range of issues, including elder services, civil rights, fair labor, health care, insurance and financial services, housing, open meeting laws, public charities, and victim compensation. If you aren't sure who to call, an information specialist can direct you if you call the main switchboard. The main switchboard is 617-727-2200. Once again, that's 617-727-2200.
And this is Tim with Audio Journal. It's 3:30 on a Thursday afternoon, and I'm going to bounce over to the Stowe and Bolton Independent and start with a letters to the editor. It's called Over the Fence Post. Thank you from Sustainable Stowe. We'd like to thank everyone who made our recent rain barrel sale such a success. Town Administrator Denise Demkoski and her staff, DP Director Dan Rowley, and especially his terrific team at the Public Works Department and volunteer helper Guy Washburn. Last but not least, we'd like to thank the Independent of Stowe and Bolton for featuring our event. The town paper was the number one source that buyers mentioned. It pays to advertise in the Independent. We are now in a state of critical drought. Rain barrels can be an important way to conserve and use rainwater for gardens. If you missed the sale and would like to order a rain barrel, contact the Great American Rain Barrel Company to find a municipal sale nearby. State to make changes to Delaney management to avoid wildlife loss, by Kristen DeJean. When Stowe resident Mark Harnett saw mowed field at Delaney Wildlife Management Area last week, he was angry. I cannot tell you how frustrated I was last week when I saw the entire flower field almost in full bloom mowed down, he said, noting that he had contacted Mass Wildlife about mowing in the past. What he saw next really upset him. He says within just a short 20-minute walk, he saw three dead turtles that were clearly hit by a mower. The larger of the turtles, there were eggs all over the carcass and on the ground, he said. Fortunately, Harnett took photos documenting the destruction. He also documented the timing of nesting turtles and birds in the area, noting that May-June is the worst time of year to mow there. The Independent contacted Mass Wildlife, which requested the photos and information, and quickly contacted the Department of Conservation and Recreation. DCR is responsible for maintaining the dam on the site, including annual mowing around the dam infrastructure. After learning of the turtle deaths, DCR responded to the Independent the next day with the following statement: "We have been made aware of the turtles that were impacted at this site and are saddened by the loss. Mowing operations have been suspended while DCR works with Mass Wildlife to develop a vegetation management plan. The plan will include specific timing restrictions and other protective measures to avoid impacts to turtles, ground nesting birds, and other wildlife. DCR is committed to ensuring future vegetation management activities are conducted in a manner that better protects wildlife and their habitats. Next week, the Independent will take a closer look at the diversity of wildlife in that area, the nesting turtles, and how the state is working to balance management with wildlife preservation." Tour highlights progress on high school construction, by Kristen DeJean. State lawmakers visited the ongoing Neshoba Regional High School building project on June 1st to view construction progress and learn more about the district's vision for the new facility. The Neshoba Regional School District hosted John Cronin, Senator John Cronin, and Senator Jamie Eldridge, and Karen Freaker. District Director for Representative Kate Hogan for a tour of the project. During the visit, members of the delegation toured classrooms and educational spaces. Among the closely watched modernized learning areas in the school, a space that will act as a modern hub for the school's robotics, engineering, and innovation pathway programs. That space will include a state-of-the-art robotics and engineering lab, advanced machinery, and collaborative CAD, computer-aided design, zones. The new building will also feature an auditorium with specialized lighting, dedicated backstage areas, and professional-grade acoustics. Students are officially on track to enter the brand-new Neshoba Regional High School building on September 1st, 2027. To allow builders a longer 2027 summer window to handle site adjustments, the 26-27 school year is scheduled to start slightly earlier on August 26, 2026. Fast forward to the start of the 27-28 academic year, right after students and staff safely occupy the new building in September 27, remediation and demolition of the old 1961 building is expected to begin. Volunteers complete new bridge installation, again by Kristen DeJean. Volunteers with the Bolton Trails Committee recently completed the installation of a new bridge at the Wilder Farm Conservation Area, helping to maintain a key connection in the town's trail network. The new fiberglass-reinforced bridge replaces a wooden structure that was damaged when a tree fell on it. Project organizers said the replacement was made possible through the generosity of a donor, and the new bridge is expected to serve trail users for decades. According to the Bolton Conservation Trust, volunteers dedicated 3 workdays over several weeks to complete the installation. A huge thank you to the volunteers who dedicated 3 workdays over the past few weeks to make this project possible. The organization wrote in a Facebook post, "Your hard work keeps Bolton's trails safe and connected." The conservation area is part of a larger network of trails that links Sampson Road and Green Road and extends to the Goose Pond Path cul-de-sac. The route provides walkers and hikers access to a variety of conserved lands and scenic landscapes throughout Bolton. Members of the Trails Committee were also on hand during the Backyard Bolton community event on June 6th, where they discussed upcoming projects and opportunities for residents to get involved. Backyard Bolton aims to boost local businesses. Since 2018, the Economic Development Committee has been putting on 2 to 3 Backyard Bolton events a year on the Bolton Town Common. Originally, the goal of the artisan and small batch food producer market was to give small businesses a place to sell products. On that front, residents can help by attending and checking out the vendors. This past event, on June 6th, there were more than 50 vendors and organizations. Backyard Bolton is a way to bring in foot traffic, to bring brick-and-mortar businesses like Kitchen Sink Candle Company. On the day of the event, Kitchen Sink Candle Company owner Liz Landry noticed the difference. Candle bar was popping today. Such an amazing day with group after group of people wanting to make candles. She posted on her Facebook page while agreeing that the Backyard Bolton crowd made a difference. Backyard Bolton also offers local organizations a way to interact directly with those who may be interesting and want to ask questions. For instance, the Bolton Trails Committee is there to answer questions and provide Bolton Trail guides. For some families, it was a day to stop by for food and fun. Artisan pizza from wheat and water, crafted doughs, Kona ice, and fresh-squeezed lemonade was a hit, as was the educational STEM demonstration with Spot, the Boston Dynamics robot dog. "We came to see the robot," said one father. "Many kids were thrilled by the robot moves, especially for dancing. Can You Give This Pet a Home? By Sally Cragen. Two's company, but young Klaus, age one, and Nova, age two, are double the fun. This bonded pair of kitty cats are currently fostered through Broken Tail Rescue, but need a home where they can frolic together and share the love. Klaus is a tuxedo, happy-go-lucky goofball who is curious and fun-loving. If you have a toy, he's all about being your play pal. Nova is a tabby, who is more cautious at first, but warms up quickly with a purr that increases in volume and intensity. She is also a special needs kitty who has been diagnosed with asthma. She's a champ at receiving medication because she knows the process is followed by a treat. To find out more about this pair and meet them in their Watertown foster home, please visit BrokenTrailRescue.org. Genealogy Scholarship honors legacy of Bolton historian Roger Breeze. Graduating seniors at Neshoba Regional High School have an opportunity to explore their family histories while competing for a scholarship established in memory of a longtime local historian and genealogist. This year, Finian Murphy and Nikhil Ciano received the Roger W. Breeze Jr. Genealogy Scholarship. Administered through the Bolton Historical Society, the scholarship was created to honor the legacy of Roger Breeze, a dedicated society board member known for his passion for local history and genealogy. The scholarship is open to graduating Neshoba Regional High School seniors who live in or around Bolton. Applicants are asked to submit a competitive essay exploring their own family history, encouraging students to research their roots while developing an appreciation for historical inquiry. Organizers say the scholarship was established not only to recognize academic achievement, but also to inspire curiosity about family and community history. The fund serves as a lasting tribute to Breeze's commitment to preserving the past and sharing historical knowledge with others. Supporters say the scholarship reflects his belief that understanding personal and local history can strengthen connections across generations. In addition to providing financial assistance to students pursuing higher education, the scholarship seeks to encourage young people to engage with genealogy and historical research. The Bolton Historical Society maintains the Memorial Fund and continues to accept support from community members interested in honoring Breeze's legacy and promoting the study of history among local students. Information about the scholarship and application process is available at the school's guidance office. Communities Supporting Students by Kristen DeJean. Each year, dozens of community members and organizations offer scholarships to Neshoba Regional High School seniors. Last week, The Independent outlined the donations of Neshoba Regional Dollars for Scholars, which gave 11 scholarships worth $1,500 each to seniors in recognition of their academic achievements, extracurricular leadership, and commitment to community service. Looking at the list, it's evident that many in the community are raising money to provide scholarships. The Independent had a chance to catch up with a few of these organizations. The Stowe Lions Club and the Bolton Lions Club have been longtime supporters of students. Each year, the Bolton Lions award academic scholarships to Neshoba Regional High School seniors continuing their education at 2- and 4-year colleges. And technical schools noted Iris Berdrow, the president of the Lions Club of Bolton, who said applicants from Bolton submit an essay defining the term community service. The criteria for selecting winners are exemplary community service and personal goals, motivation, and sincerity in pursuit of further education. These are also lesser-known scholarships like the one from the Bolton Historical Society. We are thrilled to get 6 applications this year, noted Mary Kiyomo, who is on the board of directors. Our $500 scholarship is for Bolton NRHS seniors who will be attending college in the fall. Let's take another short break, and we'll pass it back over to Bob.
Would you like to hear news from Charlton, Southbridge, and Sturbridge that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
This is Bob Brady back with Audio Journal. The time is 3:45. I'm going to continue with articles from the Marlboro Hudson Community Advocate. You are always part of Panther Nation. Marlboro High School celebrates class of 2026 at graduation ceremony. By Evan Walsh. Strong academic performance gave salutarian Skylar Monahan an opportunity to address her classmates during graduation. But in her speech, she stressed that GPA wasn't everything. In fact, it's hardly indicative of anything at all, she said. The traditional definition of success really isn't a good way to measure a meaningful life, Monahan said. It only tells us what someone achieved. It does not tell us who they become. It does not tell us how they treated people, whether they used their talents to help others, whether they left things better than they found them. And that's really where Marlboro High School shines. On June 7th, about 280 classmates gathered at John C. Noble Field at First Lieutenant Charles W. Whitcomb Middle School. Diplomas were awarded, tassels were turned, and the class of 2026 was celebrated with plenty of pomp and circumstance. Today I'm surrounded by achievement, said Monahan. In this crowd there are athletes and artists, scholars and musicians, warriors and leaders. But more importantly, I am surrounded by good people. The class is full of unique and amazingly talented individuals. Like Monahan, Mayor J. Christian DuMays, a Marlboro High School alum, was confident members of the class of 2026 would find plenty of success in their future endeavors. Success takes hard work, dedication, perseverance, and the ability to adapt when life doesn't go according to plan, he said. There will be challenges, setbacks, and moments when you need to pivot in a different direction than those than you expected. When those moments come, stay positive, keep moving forward, and surround yourself with people who encourage you. And then DuMays is no stranger to Marlboro High School graduations. This ceremony was the first for several key administrators, namely Superintendent Jason DeFalco and new Marlboro High School principal Sarah Casey. Their remarks met the moment. One thing I've learned in my first year as superintendent in Marlboro, once you are part of Panther Nation, you are always part of Panther Nation, DeFalco said. As you cross the stage today with that sense of accomplishment and pride, I want you to know that there are still people here at Marlboro High cheering you on. They cherish the memories you have built with all of them. Added Casey, you did this. You went to school for the last 13 years. You did the work. You passed the tests. You participated in extracurriculars. You grew into wonderful, independent individuals. The graduation also featured multiple appearances by Atul Motor, who served as Marlboro's student representative to the school committee, became the school's valedictorian, and represented his peers as class president. I don't think any of us became who we are alone. We've gone through so many tests, assignments, college applications, and now, here on graduation day, we're supposed to have it all figured out. So much of who you are comes from who you surround yourself with, he said. Now is the time to be intentional. Hudson High School graduates an excited class of 2026. By Paul Hopkins. It was a sea of red and white, a sea of caps and gowns, a sea of happy graduates. On June 6, hundreds of family members gathered in Hudson High School's Morgan Bowl to congratulate the 149 graduating members of the class of 2026. It was the school's 117th annual ceremony, celebrating students as they begin their next chapter. It wasn't lost on the seniors how quickly their 5 years on Brigham Street passed. I don't know about you, but the last few years have been such a blur that they've left me wondering how we all got here. It seems time really does fly when you get 5 snow days that you don't have to make up in June, said salutatorian Jason Blake. He added, none of us got here alone. We got here with the unwavering support of our families and with the laughter and shenanigans of our friends. We got here with the coaches who inspired us and the teammates who cheered us on. Since students ballast rigorous schedules, numerous extracurricular activities, and plenty more, Superintendent Brian Reagan understood that they may have operated on autopilot throughout the course of the year. But in his address, he asked the graduates to be present in this moment and present going into the future. Now is the time to be intentional, as the autopilot is turned off and the rigid structures of high school vanish, Reagan told the crowd. Being intentional means living your life by design, not by default. It means making your conscious choices about who you want to be, how you treat people, where you invest your time. Be intentional and choose kindness when it would be easier to be cynical, Reagan continued. Be intentional and choose to do something that ignites one of your passions and fosters your well-being instead of doom-scrolling for another hour. It's a sentiment that class president William Sawyer spoke about in his address. I hope we spend less time worrying about what other people think and more time doing the things that generally make us happy. Because these moments don't last forever. These are the memories that will stay with us, he said. Hudson High School principal Lauren Popecki, at her first graduation ceremony, spoke about how much she enjoyed seeing the class of 2026 grow. One of the things that I will miss most about your class is seeing you each morning as I stood outside to greet students, she said. Those simple moments, a quick smile, a good morning, or a shared laugh, became the highlights of my mornings. Those small gestures meant more to me than you'll ever realize. Hudson graduates will soon spread across the country. Their post-secondary plans include enlisting in the military, entering the workforce, and attending schools across America, from the University of Maine to the University of California, Los Angeles. How will they handle it? Valedictorian Alessandra Burnett gave her fellow graduates advice she learned from a recent trip to Costa Rica with other students that included whitewater rafting. When you're in the middle of the rapids and losing a grip on your paddle, the worst thing you can do is give up, she said. If you give up, the river will swallow you whole. But if you keep paddling, little by little, you'll make it through. We never take anything for granted. AMPSA softball continues another magical season with quarterfinal win by Evan Walsh. To start practice, Advanced Math and Science Academy, AMPSA, softball players toss aside their everyday gloves and slide their hands into a different piece of equipment. There's no pocket. The glove looks like a pancake. It's meant to help players effectively control sharply hit ground balls, training them to use their throwing hands to seed the ball in. Later, the pancake gloves will go away, and AMPSA players will be asked to hit golf ball-sized spheres with an ultra-small bat, an activity designed to help athletes hit the sweet spot. It's no secret that AMPSA practices aren't exactly glamorous. They'll tell you if you ask them, I'm not an easy coach to play for. I'm constantly demanding, and I'm looking for ways for them to improve. That's what I'm looking for each day. 100% effort, said head coach Jason Ayak. Added senior captain Kathleen Galvin, we never take anything for granted here. We come out here, we work hard. We know that we need to earn the wins that we get. We understand that practice is not a time to fool around. We come here to work, and the wins are the reward for that. And look at where all that hard work has gotten the Eagles. On June 5th at Marlboro High School, top-seeded AMSA defeated Lunenburg 5-0 to advance to the Division IV semifinals and claim the Final Four trophy. The Eagles have rallied off 21 consecutive victories as part of their undefeated season. The Eagles defeated Seekonk in the semifinals on June 9th and will play in the program's first ever championship game on either June 12th or June 13th. The community advocate will have updates. I suppose we'll see those next week. These girls work day in and day out, happy or unhappy, emotional, it doesn't matter. They're out there working their tail off. When one of them isn't feeling great, one of them is there to pick them up, said Ayak. The Community News Program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Bob Brady, along with Tim Elms. Thank you for listening.
This is Bird Note. Don't be fooled by the gentle whirring sound of a hummingbird in flight. This male rufous hummingbird performs elegant and aggressive courtship displays to defend his territory, and he may travel hundreds of miles to find a mate. In the spring, rufous hummingbirds journey up the Pacific coast from Mexico to the northwestern corner of the U.S. Some go even as far north as Alaska. That's almost 1,000 miles one way for a bird measuring just under 4 inches beak to tail, making this one of the longest migrations of any bird relative to body length. But after completing one journey, the hummingbirds have to prepare for another. As fall approaches, they sip nectar and catch insects to pack on fat that will power their passage back to the tropics, this time taking the scenic route over the Rocky Mountains. But not all hummingbirds of the same species migrate at the same time. This male rufous hummingbird in the Pacific Northwest gets out of town early. He leaves the breeding grounds as soon as mid-June. Females stay behind to finish their nesting duties before heading south a week or two after the males, and their grown children trail after them in August. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill. Did you know you can listen to Bird Note in your podcast app? Subscribe to Bird Note Daily and never miss an episode.
When my dad started to lose his vision, we were worried. Sure, his doctor gave me and my mom some handouts, and I did my fair share of research. But we had no idea how much of a challenge vision loss would be or how it would impact his quality of life. That's why I was so glad we discovered Mass Commission for the Blind. They work with my dad, and they will work with you and your loved one as well to develop future plans and new skills and assistive technology. They even helped Dad get access to talking books and newspapers. He was so excited.
If your loved one is blind or visually impaired, find out if they are eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.